T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Here's a headline that I like. Woman slices would-be rapist penis off during attack. This is great. And to be honest with you, this is the only way that you could stop a rapist from being a rapist. It's the only way you can do it. Because he'll still have the thoughts upstairs, but he has nothing left downstairs to do what he's thinking about.
John Osterling is not a clinical psychologist.
I play one on the radio. What's left?
Hence my disclaimer.
What's left of a registered sex offender who had his penis cut off during an attack is now out on bond. But it doesn't matter. He could be out anywhere. He's harmless now. His name is Dennis Glenn Slayton. And he was charged with attacking a female neighbor who stabbed him and then cut off his penis. And this is one of those feel-good stories. This is one of those stories that it makes me feel so good. I'm getting choked up. Can you hand me those tissues over there?
I have told you and told you and told you. There is a line in the sand. See that line right there?
Yes.
You don't come on this side. I don't go on that side.
Well, this confrontation...
You touch your own stuff.
This confrontation occurred when Slayton offered to give this woman a ride home from a gas station. He then pulled a knife on her before driving to a house where he was trying to sexually assault her, and then he threatened to kill her. She winds up getting the knife away from him.
Wow.
And cutting off his Johnson. Isn't that something if you're him? You had your own bleep cut off by a woman with your own knife. Your own knife! Cut off your own junk or Johnson.
And then, that story is not going to go well for him when he goes to the joint. Hey, what are you in for?
Well, I think it's great news. And to be honest with you, I think that should happen. That's the only way that sexual assaulters, sexual offenders, rapists, that's the only way that they can be cured. They're never gonna be cured. They're always gonna have the mental thoughts to do that. So fine, let them have those mental thoughts. They have nothing to do it with.
You have a point. She had a point.
Here on Bayou 95.7.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning, it's the John Osterlin Morning Show. Now, I remember when I was a kid during Halloween, my parents would always say, oh, you got to check your Halloween candy. And I would always remember reading in the news, be careful, check your Halloween candy. And as a kid, you wonder why. And then the reason I always heard was the same. Watch out for razor blades in your candy. And I never remember any of my friends getting razor blades in their candy on Halloween. I never remembered anybody actually that I knew that happened to. And I just wondered if that actually really happened or if it was urban myth. And who would go out of their way? What kind of sick people would go out of their way to put razor blades in candy that they're giving out to children?
See, it does happen. It has happened. Some of the stories might be, by this point, may have passed into urban myth.
But how do you open up a small piece of candy and put a razor blade in there?
No, that's not what happens at all. I'm reading a story here, and I think you're probably going to get to that, something that happened in Connecticut.
That's why I'm bringing this up.
But in Indiana, when I grew up, it was very common that you would give out, a lot of folks, instead of giving out candy, would give out caramel apples or candied apples. And that is where the razor blades would go. And so a child would actually bite into an apple and get a razor blade. And that actually is true. It actually happened. They would put pins, like straight pins, like a lady's hat pin,
an
apple.
If you're a kid, as if it's not bad enough getting fruit, getting an apple on Halloween.
Dude, have you had caramel apples? They're delicious.
But you bite into them and now there's razor blades and pins in there?
Yes, that happened.
Well, I brought this up because I just saw this story. Man puts razor blades in Halloween candy bags, according to Connecticut police. This happened in the city of Waterbury, Connecticut. A 37-year-old guy, he never had any criminal history, never had a record, never got arrested for anything, but now he's in a lot of trouble. And authorities there are saying that he put razor blades in Halloween candy bags. Now, these aren't in the actual candy, and he didn't give out apples or fruit and put the razor blades in there. He put them in Halloween candy bags. His name is Jason Race, R-A-C-Z is his name. Quote, according to the police up there in Waterbury, Connecticut, they say, his answers for why and how these razor blades could have ended up there didn't make a lot of sense. He's facing charges including reckless endangerment and risk of injury. He told police razor blades were accidentally spilled or put into the candy bowl he used to hand out candy from. So according to him, how did these razor blades get in the candy bags? According to him, he said, oh, it was an accident.
Right.
These razor blades accidentally spilled into the candy bowl.
Right. Not rubber bands or anything else. They happen to be razor blades.
But, I mean, you talk about a coincidence.
It happens to be Halloween. Happens to be a bowl of candy and happens to be razor blades that fell into said candy.
What a coincidence.
A million to one shot, Doc. That's right.
He gave no explanation to police as to how the razor blade ended up in the kids' candy bags. A neighbor was very upset about it because her son was one of two children who received razor blades with a handful of candy when they went to his home. Quote, so I went over to him and I confronted him about it. And he claimed it to be an accident. She didn't believe him, and she called police. And evidently, this made it onto Facebook. And she said, I looked through some comments there, and this happened to another woman on the same exact street that I was on. Because of that, I didn't believe. Oh, it was an accident. It was a coincidence that on Halloween these razor blades fell into children's candy bags.
I've got some other audio here from some of his neighbors.
I'm really shocked. I can't believe it.
I said, oh my God, little children.
Thank goodness no children were hurt. Thank goodness the parents were out there with the children and monitoring.
I just can't see them doing it. I live with them 5-6 years. I've never seen one bad thing ever come from him.
And I hope this never happens to any other child.
For some reason, I just don't see him doing that on purpose.
Larry King.
Hey, he's got one neighbor who's on his side. I just think the razor blades in the kids' candy bags on Halloween, he couldn't have done that on purpose.
Waterbury, Connecticut, hello. Sound like Larry King to me.
Well, who knows? Maybe it was an accident. Maybe he just happened to be cleaning razor blades or going through razor blades over a big bucket or basket of Halloween candy. Maybe he just happened to be, you know.
Well, he didn't want to spill the razor blades, so he grabbed a bowl of candy to catch the blades should they happen to drop, and apparently they did.
But that's something I remember being a kid, and I don't ever remember knowing anyone that ever got a razor blade in their Halloween candy, and now I'm an adult, and I'm reading the story about a 37-year-old guy in Connecticut who had razor blades in his Halloween candy bags. Needs to be careful. And that was always a great reason for parents to go through their kids' candy. Like, if you did that this Halloween, I got to check out the candy, make sure there's no razor blades or anything. And by the time you're done, you're, no, this is all clear.
Well,
what were you going to say here?
I want you to think about that, though. Think about that. You bite into an apple, and you don't exactly, like, nibble into an apple. You take a good, healthy bite into an apple. What's going to happen either way? I mean, what the target is that you're trying, they are trying to, this, I can't believe I'm explaining this on the radio. I mean, you get it, an apple and a razor blade. Think about that. Think about what happens if there are some sick people. There's another tag, or there's another link to a story on here. Somebody put drug-laced gummies in Halloween candy.
But who would waste drugs that they bought money on? That they would buy money on because they take drugs, and now they're going to take the drugs that they spent their money on and put them in kids' candy?
We need a new segment on this show called Osterlogic. Can we create like a big opening theme song for that?
Get
busy on that.
There's none of that here.
Osterlogic.
Good morning. Welcome to the John Osterlin Morning Show here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Did you go to the Po'boy Festival this weekend? I've lived in New Orleans now going on 12 years, and I've been to the Po'boy Festival, but I didn't go this particular past weekend. I didn't go this year. I mean, I eat po' boys probably once a week, maybe even twice a week. But this year at the Po' Boy Festival, the best of the fest went to Miss D's Crab Meat and Fried Fish Po' Boy. And they also won the best seafood po' boy. That would be Miss D's Crab Meat and Fried Fish Po' Boy. As far as the best pork po' boy, Gulf Taco with their Belly of the Beast. The best beef po' boy, Gonzo's Smoked Brisket po' boy. The best chicken po' boy went to Southern's with their Nashville Hot. And finally, their best specialty po' boy this year was Seether's Seafood with their Voodoo Fish and Chips po' boy. Oh, they put the chips, the french fries right there on the po' boy? Ton of stuff, but they have that every year. It's always a good time uptown on Oak Street. Old Po' Boy Fest, and get hungry just talking about it. And there's always new places that pop their heads up and say, hey, gotta go try this place now. All right, coming up on the show, Twitter suspended the Twitter account of an NFL defensive back because he had a really bad day yesterday. Well, that's not why they suspended the account. People were letting him know on Twitter he had a bad day, and it's the things he said in responding to them. That's why they suspended his Twitter account. We will explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. for football fans around here this past weekend with both LSU, the number one ranked team in America, and the New Orleans Saints, right at the top of the NFL, the halfway point this year, both having a bye on the same week. What do we do this weekend? Well, there was still plenty of football going, obviously, and the New England Patriots last night got beat. They are no longer undefeated.
Yes, yes.
There's only,
I hate you, Brady.
There's only one undefeated left in the NFL, and that's the San Francisco 49ers. And many fans say, well, they haven't played anybody either. I mean, last night was the first good team the Patriots played all season long, and they got beat. The San Francisco 49ers remain unbeaten, and so many experts have them at the top of the heap when it comes to NFL teams. The Saints are right there. But then you look at a couple of other teams that I thought were right there with the Saints last week. The Green Bay Packers.
I told you.
They looked awful yesterday.
I said Rodgers is beatable.
Well, now they're 7-2.
Well, there's nothing to sneeze at.
And that's what Aaron Rodgers said after the game. He goes, maybe, you know, we were 7-1. Maybe the guys are believing the stuff people were writing about them. So maybe it's a good thing for us. That's what Rodgers said after they got hammered yesterday. They looked like crap against the Chargers in that soccer stadium out there in Carson, California. And I'll tell you, the horrific year continues for the Cleveland Browns. You know, after last year, after making the playoffs, people thought, okay, they finally, or they had a winning season finally. They won some games, and people are thinking, finally, we've turned it around here in Cleveland. We've won some games. Boy, they're bad. Their coach, there's no way. I didn't think he could make it through the season, let alone he's going to get fired after the season. His name is Kitchens. And he's never been a head football coach before. Game after game after game shows you he is in so far over his head. What happens when you just take a guy who's never been a head football coach before at this level, and you give him the reins to an NFL team?
So you don't call Cleveland losing to Denver by 5 points. You call that not respectable,
Denver,
considering how Cleveland hit. Well, I know Denver's not
is
good.
Horrible.
Well,
there's another coach who's in over his head.
But they're not Miami horrible. They're not
Miami won yesterday.
They're not the Giants horrible.
Jets horrible. Both New York teams.
If I'm a Browns fan, I gotta take that. I gotta take a 5-point loss. Yeah.
No, Denver's a horrible team, and they played a quarterback yesterday who's never played and started an NFL game. Saw another guy named Allen.
And another, the year of the curse of the quarterbacks, Jacoby Brissett goes down. Right now he's week to week, but I don't know if all the tests have come back.
Quarterback of the Colts.
If you throw in Luck, Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, Jacoby Brissett, Cam Newton, who am I leaving out? I'm leaving out two or three more quarterbacks.
Roethlisberger.
I said that. But it's just, I have never seen a year where so many quarterbacks were in jeopardy.
And not only that, this is a year where they are going out of their way to protect the quarterbacks,
right,
where you can't really hit them, and they're still going down like nuts.
Throw Mahomes in there.
Yep, I thought the Minnesota Vikings were pretty good. They looked bad yesterday. And so, I mean, right at the halfway point here as we turn the corner for the second half of the NFL season, there's not that many teams that you could look at and say, "Wow, they're fantastic." They're doing it. So that the Saints have a real good chance to do well this year. But I brought up the Browns for a specific reason. One of their defensive backs, their safety named Jermaine Whitehead, he just had his Twitter account suspended yesterday after the game for unacceptable tweets. And his unacceptable tweets came after he played really bad in the game where they lost to the really bad Denver Broncos. And he didn't like it. He didn't like people saying bad things about them. So what did he use? What did he tweet? How about death threats to some people who said that he didn't play well yesterday? Not only death threats, but he called some of them crackers. Twitter suspended the account of Cleveland Browns safety Jermaine Whitehead yesterday after he made numerous threatening posts to users who called out his poor on-field performance. See, that's what social media is. And you know, the thing that a lot of people like about social media is that for the first time ever, you can get really, really close, closer than you've ever been to your favorite celebrities, your favorite athletes. You know, you can follow them on Twitter, and now you can actually say things to them that they actually see and they read.
Right.
Before social media, before Twitter, you know, if you liked or hated a celebrity, that's as far as it went. But now you can get right up there in the celebrity's face or in their Twitter account.
Well, Dustin Fox, Ohio State? Didn't he play for Ohio State? Dustin Fox is an ESPN college football analyst, but he said this. Dustin Fox, Whitehead's effort tackling today is a joke, #Browns. After that, I'm trying to see exactly how long it took. No, don't have it. Later, Jermaine Whitehead responds. These are the kinds of things that will get you into trouble. There's one word in here I can't say. Jermaine Whitehead's response to Dustin Fox, come get it in blood, bitch made ass little boy. I'm out there with a broke hand. Don't get smoked, blank, blank, cracker.
Yeah. It's funny, a guy named Whitehead calling other people crackers.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Now you can respond. I mean, it's the great thing I like about social media is that you don't have to respond immediately. Most of my responses or my memes or my, I mean, I craft the, I will make a meme and remake it because I think, no, the joke's better if I do it like this, change this word around.
To another Twitter user, Cleveland Browns safety Jermaine Whitehead said, quote, I'ma kill you, bitch. That's on blood, unquote. So it'll be interesting to see.
See, I saw the injury report as part of my fantasy setup yesterday. I didn't see that he had a broke ass hand.
I didn't see that. That wasn't on my list either.
Oh no, I read that wrong. Just broke hand.
You know, a lot of times the radio broadcasters travel with the team. I don't know if that's the case with the Cleveland
team,
Browns.
The team's broadcasters would. Most likely.
Yeah, because as you mentioned.
Like not national, but.
The first guy he threatened, Cleveland Browns radio analyst Dustin Fox.
Oh, is that who? Okay.
Yeah, he criticized him. So I wonder if they're on the same plane.
Well, I don't see that as. I was looking up. I've never heard of Dustin Fox. I was looking up to see who he is.
And if you're a player, you cannot give an injury as an excuse. Sure, you might have a broken hand, Jermaine Whitehead. But you're on that field, you cannot use that as an excuse. Because if you use that as an excuse, you let down every one of your other teammates, you let down every fan of the Cleveland Browns, is if you have a broken hand and if you can't play, then you should be on the sideline.
Right.
Your backup should be in there playing for you.
Dustin Fox was the captain of the national champion Buckeyes, that is the Ohio State University. Hmm. He is an ESPN college football analyst. He is with Browns Radio and TV.
And I guess
it's possible he could be on the plane with these guys.
Is he the cracker or is he the one that got the death threat? Which one is Dustin Fox, the Cleveland Browns radio analyst?
Technically both.
Because
there's a couple of different
tweets that Jermaine Whitehead sent out.
I don't know whether or not he's a cracker. He did get a death threat.
You know, as a white person, I can say that word, not only is it offensive to me, I laugh when I hear it. The first thing I think of is the TV show The Jefferson.
Yeah, I think of George Jefferson.
The first thing I think of is George Jefferson when everybody says the word cracker. It's the first thing.
For their part, the Cleveland Browns responded, quote, Jermaine Whitehead's social media posts following today's game were totally unacceptable and highly inappropriate. We immediately spoke with Jermaine upon learning of these comments. The Browns in no way condone that type of language or behavior. This matter will be further addressed internally, end of quote.
Yeah, I don't care who you are, whether you're a famous person, an athlete, an actor, whatever. You can't threaten to kill anybody
right
on social media, although you are allowed, to call people crackers on social media, but the Cleveland Browns organization doesn't want their team members doing that.
Right. He'll get what, a $50,000 fine from the league, and then whatever he gets from the team as far as punitive action.
And for whatever reason, Baker Mayfield doesn't throw the ball to Odell Beckham Jr. very much. At the end of the game yesterday, the last play of the game, Odell Beckham was one-on-one, open, down the sideline for a game-winning touchdown, and Baker Mayfield didn't even look his way. Didn't even look his way.
Beckham is like, woo-hoo, woo-hoo.
Yeah.
Baker, I'm over here.
Yeah,
I'm open.
It doesn't make any sense. And again, you know,
because that's more potentially more time for Nick Chubb to get the ball in his hands, who I have on my fantasy team.
They actually won. They actually won the game yesterday. I mean, they actually won some games last year, and it looked like they were turning it around. And I know they've had a rough schedule, tough schedule this year, much tougher than, let's say, the New England Patriots or the San Francisco 49ers. Mm. But still, they've been awful. Baker Mayfield last week, snapping at reporters, asking them questions, and then getting up and walking out, and just a horrible follow-up to a season that looked so hopeful last year. And again, they hired a head coach who had no NFL head coaching experience, and I don't know how much NFL experience he had, but he is, week in and week out, he shows that he is. You want to see a man who is not qualified for a job that he has? He is so over his head. His name's Kitchens, and he's the manager he's the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, and he has absolutely no business being there. And it just shows week after week after week.
Well, you have to say this, though, about Baker Mayfield. He makes a funny commercial.
Yeah, those are some funny commercials.
I like those. Exit question. Fantasy team, good or bad week?
No. Nobody cares about
really?
Our fantasy teams.
And, they do, because I won. I won, yeah.
Coming up on the show, we're going to tell you about a couple who wasn't too happy. They got booted off of a cruise, and we will tell you why. They didn't break the law. We will tell you why they got kicked off a cruise, and they're suing now. Stay tuned for that coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So there's a city in Germany that just declared a Nazi emergency. They say they fear the rise in extremism. And you know, as we sit here in the year 2019, whenever a Nazi story makes the news, I'm always fascinated how all of these years later, Nazis are still in the news. It was only a couple of weeks ago we told you about some 93-year-old Nazi who was on trial because he was a guard at one of the concentration camps. And I always say that, boy, it's incredible how these Nazis won't go away. These Nazi stories, all these years later, are still in the news. And now the German city of Dresden has declared a Nazi emergency, with local lawmakers citing years of increased extremism in the area of Nazis.
If you're the city of Dresden and the country, the Republic, I guess, Federal Republic of Germany, and you have not a Nazi emergency, don't you kind of want to handle that internally and keep that under wraps? Maybe not let that get out?
Yeah, because anybody else, any other crazy lunatic who's thinking, hey, man, the Nazis are cool. It's 2019. Where can I go to find some of my ilk, my brethren? Oh, wow, look at this. Dresden, Germany. They're saying that Nazis are coming back.
Hmm. I'm thinking try to keep a lid on that.
Yeah, so they say, quote, for years politicians have failed to position themselves clearly and unequivocally against the extremists. There is a serious problem similar to climate change. Oh, so they're worried as much about the Nazis coming back in Dresden, Germany as they are about climate change. So they're going to write some legislation. I don't know what else is going to be done about it. What can you do? But isn't that something?
Yes.
The Nazis are still making news. Damn it, will they ever go away? Coming up next, we look at today in history. We call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. Good morning. It's now time for us to take a look at history, and we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
November 4th, the band Boston played their first concert in the city of Boston today in 1978.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
In that very first concert Boston played in the city that it's named after was at a sold-out Boston Garden. How many bands can say that? They're a band from a city. They just got a major record deal. They released their first album. It happened to be a historic first album, and the first band they ever played in their own city was the NBA, the NHL arena, and it was sold out. That's because Boston wasn't even a band.
Right. That's what makes the song Rock and Roll Band so ironically false. Telling the story about a band, hey, we're playing these gigs, and hey, we signed a record company. They didn't sign anything. Schultz signed it.
We've talked about them before. Boston, that whole first album was basically written and played by one guy, mm-hmm. Tom Schultz, the guitar player. He had to find a singer with a great voice, which he did, Brad Delp.
Right.
But when it
sadly, came, the late Brad Delp.
Yeah, but when it came to recording all of those now classic songs, it was all one guy. And that, I don't know if you'll ever see that ever again, where a band, the first gig they play in their hometown is to a sold-out crowd of 15,000 people at the arena in that city.
I can think of, like, Paul McCartney has that ability, including playing drums. I mean, the majority of the album Band on the Run was three people. Well, two people and Linda McCartney. It was Paul McCartney and Denny Lane. They basically put that together, and then they had to put a touring band together with Henry McCullough and others. Jeff Lynne of ELO has, I'm not sure if he can play drums or not, though. But I mean,
I'm sure he could.
I'm sure he can do anything with a sequencer or, you know, drum processor. But yeah, there aren't too many of that middle 70s era that I could think of that could pull it all off.
November 4th. It was today in 1992.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Elton John and the man who writes his lyrics, Bernie Taupin, they signed to the music publisher Warner Chappell for $39 million.
Right.
That was unprecedented. And I mean, you go back to the 70s, that was Elton John's decade and just hit after hit after hit.
Right.
And Elton John always wrote all of the music on piano, but then he had a guy, Bernie Taupin, who wrote all of the lyrics to go that music.
So,
and in 1992, their best days were far behind them.
Sure. I think their last album together, if I'm not mistaken, was Blue Move, like a double album, way excessive. And then I think they went their separate ways after that. So that would have been like 70, 78.
Well, today in 92, they got $39 million.
Well, and they put out, I'm a bit of an Elton file, but up to this point, basically 1992. I mean, I'm not really into The Lion King and Feel the Love Tonight and all that. I'm back. I'm a big fan of Elton back in the rock days. But that album that they put together in 92 called The One, that's a great song, and there's some other good songs on there as well. If you're an Elton fan, you want to go back into the library.
I just wonder if Warner Chappell Music got their $39 million worth in 1992.
Oh, I would imagine so. It was on this date, November 4th, that the following people were born. Turning 50 years old today, say it with me. All right. Happy 50th birthday to Matthew McConaughey.
He's
also,
50 today?
50. Big 5-0. Also turning 59 today, National Treasure, Kathy Griffin. I can't think of anything more ridiculous to say about her than she's Kathy Griffin. Former First Lady Laura Bush is 73 today. It is National Candy Day, which is a bit odd because it's quite, you would think maybe November 1st would be National Candy Day. Maybe it's the Monday after Halloween. I don't know. Do with that what you will. And we will, when we see like a giant mass of blonde hair walk by, that will be young Josh, our traffic reporter. And we'll have to give him a high five today because it's National Traffic Reporters Day or National Broadcast Traffic Professionals Day. So give him a high five when you go by.
How about that? And
as he's brushing his long, curly hair. Bastard, I hate that guy.
Got one birthday that was yesterday over the weekend.
All right.
Happy 32nd birthday to former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick. You know, with black unemployment being at a record low in the United States, he's one of the few black guys that can't find a job. Also, November 4th, it was today in 1922.
Why today doesn't suck.
The entrance to King Tut's tomb was discovered by British archaeologist Howard Carter and his workmen. They discover a step leading to the tomb of King Tutankhamun in the Valley of the Kings over there in Egypt. That was some discovery. And
it was a big deal.
Did you know it wasn't found for over 3,000 years because it was cleverly marked exit? I read that somewhere. And I also read...
There's more?
That King Tut died in a chariot accident. They say that he was texting and crashed into a pyramid. And
I thought maybe there was one more. You got one more? That's a segment that we call.
Why today doesn't suck.
All right, coming up on the show. Boy, a CEO of one of the biggest corporations in America had to resign over the weekend. Did you see that story? We'll tell you why coming up. Because CEOs, when you're making that much money, you just don't quit. You just don't walk away from a gig like this. We'll explain here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Over the weekend, we were at the third annual Bayou Road Balloon Festival.
Yes.
Over there in DeParish in Chalmette.
And it's always good to be, no matter what, if it's rain or shine, it's always good to be in Chalmette.
Yeah, we had a good time over there, and I'm telling you, that festival, like I said, it was the third annual, and it's getting bigger and better every year. I think that festival has the future is bright. It's a good time. They got lots to do for the kids. I mean, all kinds of cool stuff.
Right.
Something interesting happened to me on the way there. I Ubered. And I live downtown New Orleans, so I had an Uber from there over to Chalmette, where they had the festival over at Sidney Torres Park. And we get about halfway there. And then all of a sudden, my Uber driver looks back at me and she says, do you know how to get there?
Meaning get to the festival?
Yeah, I said, what do you mean? And she showed me her cell phone and it was all locked up.
Hmm.
I whipped out my cell phone in the back seat of the Uber car, and my cell phone was locked up. I couldn't do anything on Uber with it. I couldn't. And so like when she first picked me up, she knew exactly where she was going because that's how Uber works. But once we started driving, we got about halfway there. All of a sudden, it was locked up. And then she pulled over to the side of the road, and she said, I'm going to have to let you out. I said, what do you mean let me out? We were... About halfway between the warehouse district in New Orleans to Sidney Torres Park in Chalmette.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what do you mean? I said, just keep going straight. She goes, do you know where it is? I said, well, I know about where it is.
Well, you've been there.
Yeah, it's my third year in a row. I could get you there.
Right.
And so I had to give her directions from the back seat, but her first reaction was to drop me off once the Uber thing locked up in her car.
Right.
And then she told me I needed to call Uber because when I was telling her where to go, She said, well, none of this is on the computer. This is very dangerous, and I don't know where I'm going right now. And I said, you've never been to the big park in the middle of Chalmette? You drive for Uber?
Well, I mean, if she drives normally around Orleans Parish, I mean, in my short time as an Uber driver, which amounted to almost a year, I don't think I maybe went from downtown New Orleans or anywhere in Orleans Parish, maybe to St. Bernard Parish, maybe twice. Just
there's not a lot of people who take that route, huh?
Well, I wanted to do runs from the hotels to the airport and back, and that's all I wanted to do. But it just didn't come up that often.
Well, I got her there, and it worked out fine. And,
did you drive? Did you take the wheel and drive?
No, I stayed in the back seat.
Hmm.
I was literally a backseat driver for my Uber rider, but it got me to thinking. Because I love Uber, and I use Uber a lot, but what if, let's just say we were in one of the bad neighborhoods of New Orleans on a Saturday night or a Friday night, and it was like, 11 o'clock or midnight, and all of a sudden we're in Central City, and she says,
okay, get out.
Yeah. excuse me? Get out here? But luckily it all worked out. I wonder why that happened to both of our cell phones in that Uber car.
I don't know what was going on Saturday, but I was not able to, the particular banking app that I use, and I won't mention which one, but they, and then Facebook was down for a while. My banking app was down. I mean, not regular maintenance, like down. So I don't know, maybe cyber problems nationwide on Saturday.
But other than that, I had a great time at the Bayou Road Balloon Festival. And if you didn't make it this year, go next year.
Yes,
it's one of those festivals that you could see. It's really cool, and it's a good time over there.
Right. Our buddy Mike Z took care of us. And,
yes. What's up, Mike?
Yeah. Good time.
All right. Coming up next, a CEO of a major corporation here in America had to resign over the weekend. Wait till you hear why. And it had to be a good reason, because you don't just walk away from jobs like that. Those CEOs, they make gazillions of dollars. We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. Over the weekend, McDonald's, the corporation, not the one near your house or near where you work, the corporation, McDonald's, fired its CEO, its chief executive officer. And it's a pretty big deal when a CEO of a massive company like McDonald's gets fired, loses his job or her job, because they make millions and millions and millions of dollars a year. So why did McDonald's fire its CEO over the weekend? Because he had an inappropriate relationship with an employee. I wonder if it was one of the females who happened to work at his local McDonald's. Maybe she did the French fries, or was this an employee in the big corporate office? We don't know yet.
Read on, we'll find out.
McDonald's announced the ouster of their CEO Steve Easterbrook yesterday over an inappropriate relationship with an employee. And Easterbrook acknowledged his error, and he supports the company's decision. This is a whopper of a story.
That's not kosher. That doesn't work.
Steve Easterbrook has been there for a really long time. Steve Easterbrook has been the president and CEO of McDonald's, the big corporation, for the last 4 years. He's had that gig since 2015. But he had been with the company since 1993. You talk about a guy who rose within the company. You know, they always say that about minimum wage, when there's always the battle with some people who believe that minimum wage should be $12 or $15 an hour. I don't agree with that. I don't even think there should be a minimum wage, to be honest with you. And you're talking to someone, or you're listening to someone who owned a business, owned a bar, owned a restaurant. If I had employees that I really liked and did a good job for me, I would pay them a good salary to keep them there.
Insurance fire.
The building is still standing in Miami, where I own the Barber.
You pass me a tissue, would you please?
But this is something. How really a CEO, a guy who's making that much money, who's been there that long, the CEO of McDonald's, loses his job because he did sex with an employee. And evidently, that's in all the handbooks you get if you work at McDonald's. You can't be doing sex with employees. But get back to what I was mentioning about the minimum wage. You know, there are some people that rise within a business, and what I've always said, and what you've seen other people say when it comes to minimum wage, when you hear people say, well, I can't afford to have a family and I can't afford to have an apartment making minimum wage. Well, you never were supposed to. Minimum wage was not for people that have their own apartments and have their own families. And, you know, jobs like that, and McDonald's is just one place, but there are a bunch of other places where you start out, you're making minimum wage. But they've always said, And jobs like that, they're for people in high school, in college. And
well, but unlike when you and I were coming out of school, the culture is now, it's not start at the bottom and work your way up. They don't have time for that. That's flip burgers, I'm not going to do that. Sweep floors, I'm not going to do that. I want to start with an office. I don't want to work.
Yeah, I wonder if where this guy started, Steve Easterbrook. Again, he worked there since 1993. So he worked there for, let's see, that's 7 plus 15, that's 22 years. He worked at McDonald's for 22 years before he was named president and CEO 4 years ago in 2015. I wonder if he started as someone on the flipping burgers or working the fryer later. I wonder if he started there. He probably started in the office and just rose his way, climbed his way to the top. But there are jobs within McDonald's and other fast food places where you could start as a minimum wage employee and then get to a manager, that kind of thing. I've seen that. He is being replaced. They already named his replacement. This all happened yesterday, over the weekend. Chris.
It's not Rosie O'Donnell, is it?
No.
Good.
McDonald's named Chris Kempczinski. He was the McDonald's United States president, and they just named him as its new president and CEO. And he says, quote, "I'm thrilled to be leading this incredible company, working alongside our talented team, our board, our franchisees, and supplies. I am committed to upholding our rich heritage of serving our customers and driving value for our shareholders and stakeholders." Isn't that the most important part? The part he said last? How much money they make and if their stockholders and their shareholders are happy. So pretty big move, pretty big news. I mean, I hope this... I don't know if the CEO, the former CEO of McDonald's, Steve Easterbrook, I don't know. I'm just guessing he was married. And I mean, you're the CEO of McDonald's. I'm guessing you're married with kids and you're maybe not he's not. I don't know. But he's thrown away his whole career as the CEO of McDonald's to go do a little sex. I hope those two have a future.
Not sure if those two wash. You're assuming that because he's a CEO of a big corporation that he must be married with kids.
You would think that.
Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, would take exception with that.
Well, he's gay.
Right. So that kind of, you're making my point. You're the kind of turns your assumption upside down.
I would say he's in the minorities of CEOs of major American companies. Yeah, I'm just guessing here. I don't know. I'm speculating.
Right.
You would think most CEOs are married with kids, the ones that aren't gay.
I never speculate.
Hmm. All right, so we'll see if that means anything's going to change for you and I if you frequent McDonald's or if you go there just once in a while. But that's a big story.
If he, if the new person decides, he or she decides to bring back the McRib full time, 24/7, around the clock, then the story will affect me. And boy, will it ever affect me.
All right, coming up next, you just brought up Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple. He made news over the last couple of days, too.
Oh, no.
No, it's nothing bad.
Oh, okay.
It's a good news. It's a feel-good story.
All right.
Stay tuned for that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Journey, their tickets for their show this summer at the Smoothie King Center go on sale this Friday morning. If you don't want to wait and you want to try to win some free, we're giving them away. Just go to our website and click on the Journey Pretenders box because the Pretenders are opening up for them. Go to our website and try to win your Journey tickets. That's Bayou957.com. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. We have mentioned and we've talked about on this show a few times the problems that are happening in the cities of Los Angeles and San Francisco out there in California with the homeless problem. Downtown Los Angeles, it looks like there's a big section of it that looks like a third world country. And I believe even third world country diseases are spreading among the tents there in downtown Los Angeles.
Well, that was a big story, that the plague was coming back in East L.A., and then that story kind of went away. I haven't heard any more about that.
And then we've also talked about in San Francisco how tent cities pop up all over the place and people go to the bathroom, and I'm talking about number one and number two. People just drop deuces all the time. We've talked about that. Brewster has seen that firsthand.
Yeah, I wish I could unsee it.
And the one of the amazing things about this is that in San Francisco and Los Angeles, the homeless populations are rising right around the corner from some of the most valuable, expensive real estate in the country. And, people keep saying, well, what do we do about it? What do we do about it? What do we do about it? Well, the other day, the CEO of Apple, Tim Cook, he said, our company is going to commit $2.5 billion to combat the housing crisis in California. You would think $2.5 billion could take every person off the street in California who wants to be off the street.
Well, it should house them, take them off the street and house them. I don't know about feeding them. But there's never going to be enough money to throw at the problem of homelessness.
Well, this is the only way of corporations that have money.
Is that the magic number, 2.5 billion?
Well, who knows what it is.
Okay, problem solved.
But they could build large apartment buildings that these people can go into.
But there's going to be some impediment. Here we talk about, and you mentioned that the homeless shelters run at less than full capacity because of the various rules. No alcohol, no hooch, no drugs.
That's here in New Orleans.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's in fact true. You apparently...
Yes, it is.
Okay. I have no reason to dispute that. I'll take your word for it. But there's going to be some, if you build, I don't know, whether you want to call them projects or you want to call them housing of some sort you got to be careful what term you use. Pretty soon you're not going to be able to say homeless, and there are people who are offended by that term anyway. But my point is, no matter how many hundreds of units, thousands of units you build, there's going to be some setback that when it comes to filling these with indigent or with homeless or whatever, there's going to be something, well, you can't do this. Well, that's it. I'm going to stay on the street.
Yeah.
So it's not just money that's going to solve the problem.
But they have to do something. I mean, downtown Los Angeles has always had Skid Row, but it was always a street, maybe a street and a half, two streets. It is starting to get bigger and bigger in the tent cities in downtown Los Angeles. And again, San Francisco is just a mess. But what do you do? Now you've got companies that, like Apple, $2.5 billion is nothing for Apple to try to build buildings to get these people off the street. But then, who wants that in their neighborhood? People
right.
that are already living there, not that work hard to pay their bills, and now all of a sudden you're putting up affordable housing, whatever you want to call it, for people that are basically just going to squat there. They don't have any vested interest. They have nothing invested in there.
No, you can build nice places. They're going to be run down instantly.
Apple's doing this because costs have skyrocketed for not only renters but potential home buyers in the state of California.
Well, see, now you're talking about something where it's the virtual ice flow where they used to put old people out on an ice flow and say, have at it, good luck, we'll see you on the other side. Well, I mean, so are you going to build these, low income or free income units, and are we going to build a moat around them so you don't see them?
Well, the
and no one can get that. Once you're there, you can't leave?
Again, housing costs have risen while the availability of affordable housing has failed to keep pace with California's growth. And if you can't call someone who's homeless, and that's not politically correct, if that's offending people, what in God's name are you supposed to call them? Someone who's down on their luck? I mean, they're living in a tent on a street.
Well, and some are just living literally on cardboard on the street. Forget about a tent. I mean, again, the fellow I saw in San Francisco had, I don't recall if he had a blanket or he had, but no, there was no, he had no shelter.
Well, the guy lives outside my tenement every morning when I walk out, because it's been colder the last few days, he's got more cardboard on him. But he lives right outside my building. But, we're talking about California here, and
well, okay. So if you let's say you have a building that has 1,000 units, and each one of these has someone that was previously living on the street, whatever the condition. All right. So now, do you have a police force that keeps them from robbing and killing each other? I mean, how do you handle this?
Well, Apple said the corporation.
I'd like to hear what Tim Cook is. What I mean, okay. Here's the check. Now, how do you this little societal vacuum that he's created for these people? How
do you organize all of this?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a very video game like. It used to be a video game called Utopia. I would love to hear Tim Cook's version of how this progresses.
$2.5 billion Apple is donating to help address the homeless problems in California, and it'll be interesting to see. Think what you can build with $2.5 billion.
Well, but the problem of homelessness is only a partial problem of these people's lives, whether it's the inability to assimilate for whatever reason, whether it's mental illness, whether it's cultural, whether it's whatever it is. How big of a check do you have to write to, take care of the next step? It probably makes Tim Cook feel good at his dinner parties and, oh, we're going to do this and $2.5 billion. Blah, blah, blah,
well,
blah.
And the homeless are only one demographic here that looks to benefit from this. They say in California, many school teachers, firefighters, first responders, people that don't make that much money are forced to leave the state of California because they can't keep up with the rising rents and they can't afford to buy a home either.
And I mentioned gasoline is $6 and $7 a gallon in places of California.
Well, they'll have to worry about that once Tim Cook buys them cars. but right now, Apple, the corporation, they said we are donating $2.5 billion. We have a comprehensive $2.5 billion plan to help address the lack of affordable housing in the great state of California.
Instead of the dividing line being right there at, what do they call it? I can't think of what they call that. But, L.A. or actually San Francisco and places north would like to jettison Los Angeles into the ocean, so maybe we can have a third or a second break off, and then that can be these people. We'll call it, let's see, what should we call it? Tim Cookland.
Well, and there's a lot of Americans who wish the government would do this, with taxpayer dollars, just build more affordable housing for people can't afford it. But then that's the American taxpayer doing that.
But then what?
Well, that's a great guy, and we're going to find out, but then what, with this story, we're going to find out now that Apple has committed $2 billion to combat the housing crisis in California. Keep your eye on that. It'll be, because I don't think any corporation's ever tried anything like this before, and it'll be something, an example to look at to see how this goes.
And for the record, I hope it works.
Coming up, we'll tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So Olivia Newton-John is 71 years old now. And over this past weekend, I guess she was cleaning out her closets. And she was selling a bunch of stuff that she has collected over the years. And she had an auction at an auction house in Beverly Hills, California. And the thing that she sold that people were talking about the most was the outfit she wore in the final scene of the movie Grease. Did you ever see the movie Grease?
Yeah. No, it's on my list. I plan to.
Well, she wore these tight leather pants and this tight top. And as a matter of fact, it was so tight.
How tight was it?
That back in the day, she said she had to be sewn into the pants. That outfit garnered the most cash at the Olivia Newton-John auction over the weekend in Beverly Hills. Again, she had hundreds of items that she sold at the auction. And that outfit, somebody paid $405,700 for that two-piece outfit.
How much?
$405,700 for the tight leather pants that she had to be sewn into, and then the tight top that she wore with it.
Was it Travolta? Did he buy it?
I don't know. She was selling a bunch of stuff, and that's what got the most money.
I say that only so I can do my Sandy.
I mean, she looked incredible in that.
She did.
She looked spectacular.
And despite the fact, I mean, I have seen this movie a billion times. I am so old that when I worked at a drive-in theater, it played over and over and over and over and over and over. I've never seen the original musical, though. But did you know most of the songs in the musical aren't even in? Most of the songs in the movie were written. Many of the songs in the movie that we've come to know and love aren't in the musical, and this one I believe is not either, because it was written for the movie for this scene.
Sandy,
she's wearing
this
out.
One of the great bass lines of all time. Well, not in the original musical.
How about that? Well, yeah. Somebody over the weekend paid $405,700 for the leather pants she had to be sewn into for that, and the top. And let me ask you something: if you have to be sewn into pants, how do you get them off? Like with a hedge clippers? You got to go down the side. How would you get them off if you had to be sewn into them?
Oh, you're looking at me. I don't know.
Yeah, I got to try to figure that one out. Coming up next on the show, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning here on Bayou 95.7. The classic rock of New Orleans. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And since it's 8:35, this is when we tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Florida man threatens neighbors with nunchucks, hits himself in the head, knocks himself out. Another Florida man story. Daytona Beach, Florida. Police say they've arrested the Florida man who's been accused of threatening his neighbors with nunchucks and bug spray before cutting his own head open when he accidentally hit himself with the nunchucks he was threatening his neighbors with.
Those are my attorneys, the law firm of Nunchucks and Bug Spray, LLC.
61-year-old Larry Adams complained about his neighbor's loud music coming from a car in the parking lot of their Daytona Beach, Florida apartment complex. Adams sprayed four of his neighbors with the roach spray, and then he swung the nunchucks in a threatening manner. And when he was doing that, that's when he hit himself on the head and he knocked himself out.
It happens.
He got himself arrested because of that, old Larry Adams. Charged with aggravated assault and battery with a deadly weapon. I wonder if the bug spray, spraying that on people, got him in trouble. It doesn't say here. It only says he got arrested for threatening his neighbors with the nunchucks that he ended up knocking himself out with. One of the neighbors said that she was upset and surprised that Larry Adams used the bug spray on her and the others, because she said, "We're not roaches." But that's what happened in Daytona Beach, Florida recently. Another Florida man makes the news, this time for knocking himself out with nunchucks that he was threatening his neighbors with because they were playing music too loud. Hey, coming up on the show, the Popeye's chicken sandwich is back. It came back yesterday, and they did it on Sunday for a reason. It was brilliant marketing because their biggest rival with the chicken sandwich is closed on Sundays, Chick-fil-A. But there's already been a couple of fights in Popeye's over these new chicken sandwiches. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Over the weekend on Friday night, Guns N' Roses played in Las Vegas. They played at Caesar's Palace, and Axl Rose fell on stage. I saw it. It was nothing exciting. He just fell, but you could tell his legs kind of split. And what's interesting is, first he said, "My hip! My back! I. But he got up, and he walked off the stage. And he came back on stage with a towel, and he began wiping up the area that was wet where he slipped. Talk about times changing in 30 years.
Wow.
Could you imagine if that was 30 years ago when Guns N' Roses was torn for either Appetite for Destruction or the Illusions, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2? If it was on any of those tours and he ever slipped, you know how many people would have lost their jobs?
Well, you know how many people would be sent out of the theater because the show would have been canceled right then.
Yeah, I mean, if someone was in the crowd and he didn't like the fact that they were taking a picture of him, he would stop in the middle of the song and jump out into the crowd and just start punching the guy.
Right.
And boy, times have changed a lot. I guess that's what some years and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars will do for you.
Are they doing like a little residency at Caesars? In Las Vegas?
I don't think so.
No?
I think they were just there, and then they played somewhere last night. I think that's the end of this. This tour's been going on for like 5 years,
right.
the Not in This Lifetime tour.
Right.
And the good news for Guns N' Roses fans, which I am one, is that this has been such a success that the original Guns N' Roses guys are writing new material. And
right.
Again, I don't know what it's going to say. I mean, it's got to be better than the Chinese Democracy, the thing he did with all the other hired guns, no pun intended. But that thing that took, 15 or 20 years to come out, I mean, it's got to be better than that.
I think their farewell tour may take 15 or 20 years. It's like Elton John, his is into the at least 3 years. And then Kiss on their, what is it, the road ends or the long road or the end of the road or whatever. They just added 75 more dates. It's like, are you ever going to go away from your farewell tour?
It's the never-ending road. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully, if Slash and Axl and Duff, if they can, who knows if they could sit down and they could write stuff that would be even remotely, nearly
right.
as good as what was on Appetite for Destruction or Use Your Illusions 1-2. Stay tuned. I couldn't believe he cleaned up the mess himself. Popeyes.
I'm sorry. What are we staying tuned for?
To see if Guns N' Roses come out with a new album written by three of the original guys.
We'll call in sick.
Well.
In case it's today.
I'm a fan. Hey, and the Popeyes chicken sandwich came back. It came back yesterday. And make no bones about it, even though the chicken sandwich is boneless. They released it yesterday. That was very smart marketing to bring back the chicken sandwich on a Sunday, because they knew their biggest rival in the chicken sandwich game is Chick-fil-A. And Chick-fil-A is closed Sunday, so there's nothing that Chick-fil-A can do. And so Popeyes brought back the chicken sandwich yesterday. And I've already been reading, people are getting in fights over the chicken sandwich over at different Popeyes. So I'm excited to get one soon. Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock.
Well, that didn't take long.
Breaking news, we have an update to a story we just told you about. The Cleveland Browns have cut safety Jermaine Whitehead because of him threatening to kill people on Twitter and him calling people crackers.
Was that so wrong?
Yeah,
apparently it is.
Cleveland Browns have just cut safety Jermaine Whitehead. Yeah, you can't be threatening to kill people on Twitter.
Oh, I have another layer to this story. The New England Patriots have just signed Jermaine Whitehead.
No, that's not true.
No.
That's not true. That wouldn't surprise me, though.
No.
And it wouldn't surprise me also if the Cleveland Browns made news by firing their head coach, who has absolutely no business being a head coach in the NFL. He doesn't know what he's doing. He is so over his head.
Right.
That's for another day.
Right.
See, we're in New Orleans right now. Things are good. Only one loss at the halfway point of the season for the Saints.
So what do you make of this? I call it the Epstein didn't kill himself phenomenon. I am seeing memes, and some of them are hilarious. I'm seeing a take on, you've seen the thing where someone will post a word search puzzle, a blank word search puzzle with nothing drawn in, and it'll say, okay, these next three words you see will be what you get in 2019 or 2020, like love, wealth, whatever, happiness, whatever it is. I see one that says the next three words you see, and there's no way you cannot see the words Epstein didn't kill himself.
Yeah, Jeffrey Epstein, he's the billionaire financier who they said hung himself in a New York City jail cell.
Right.
What was that, about a month or two ago now?
Yeah.
And last week it was back in the news again because Dr. Baden said that his injuries on his neck didn't look like they were from suicide. They looked like he had been killed.
Right. And you've seen, if you've watched any show, 2020 or any forensic file show, you've seen Dr. Michael Baden. He's got the mustache. He's got the glasses. He's kind of balding. I just saw one today. In fact, I'm going to put this up on Facebook, the Bayou Facebook page, at 10 o'clock. It is a treatment of a Weekend at Bernie's picture with Bill on one side, Hillary on the other, and Epstein in the middle, and you can figure out which role Epstein plays.
As a matter of fact, new evidence has just surfaced in the Jeffrey Epstein case.
Mm-hmm.
Investigators have found a suicide note that says, yes, comma, I did kill myself. exclamation point. And here's one other thing that's interesting about that. The people that hate Donald Trump, mm-hmm. they're convinced Trump and his ilk killed Epstein.
Right, right.
And then the people that hate Hillary Clinton are convinced Hillary Clinton
right.
and Bill Clinton and their ilk killed Jeffrey Epstein.
And add
him to the list of the many people that they've killed in the past. And if they're correct, Hillary Clinton is not even arguably the biggest, the most proficient serial killer in the history of our country.
Or suicide faker. I mean, it all comes down to who you believe, if anyone, either Trump or Clinton, or both, or neither, Epstein had taken to the so-called island where young girls were. This is something I came across. You remember Bill O'Reilly? Bill O'Reilly had the protege, Jesse Waters, and was kind of bringing him up, and I always thought of Jesse Waters as maybe being the heir apparent. Well, he's still on Fox News, but they have him on weekends for the most part. He does his own show called Waters World on there. And I came across this in the light of taking out the ISIS leader. They were talking about trained military dogs. And Jesse Waters had on a guest named Mike Ridlon and his dog Nero. And they were talking about Mike Ridlon's a former Navy SEAL. And they were talking about the process of training these dogs for military service. And at the end, Mr. Ridlon wanted to make a little PSA.
And he can't wait. So thank you and thank Nero for your service. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. If I could I throw a PSA out real quick?
Real quick.
Just the remarkable nature of these dogs and them being highlighted in the news creates a huge demand by people that frankly shouldn't have them. If you see the coverage and you decide I want one of these dogs, either buy a Finnish trained, fully trained and finished dog from a professional, or just don't get one at all. And Epstein didn't kill himself.
All right. Okay. Thank you for that commentary. All right, Mike. Maybe more on that later.
Yeah, well, he should have followed him. Who killed him? Was it Trump or Clinton?
Right.
Which one killed Jeffrey Epstein?
If
he didn't kill himself. And that's going to do it for our show today. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Ginty is coming up next. Ginty, he's got your music notes at noon. We'll chat again tomorrow morning here on Bayou 95.7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.